Okay, we are back. You are listening to Floor Radio. I'm Dave Foster. We have Mike Barker on the line this morning. Mike's a regular on this program. He's with Investment and Retirement Management. Mike's a chartered retirement planning counselor. He's a certified fund specialist offering securities to Linsco Private Ledger, a member of NASD and SIPC. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you know, before we talked, yesterday I looked at the market, and I can remember last week we talked a little bit about volatility, and it seems like yesterday was a pretty volatile day. I thought it was up to over 100, it went down over 100, I think it ended up, somewhere in the range of 64.
Yeah, down about 64.
After it was up 100 and down 100, what was the issue yesterday that was causing that to happen?
Well, it could be one of a number of things, or maybe all of the above. It depends on how you want to look at it. But before I go into these things, the biggest thing to talk about, and it's something we've mentioned over the last several months, and it just so happens that often when we mention this type thing, we get a pretty sharp pullback shortly thereafter. Not to say that we predicted it was coming in the next day or two, but the conditions were in place. And over the last few days, with the big up move we've had in the markets, and not just in markets in this country, but markets all over the world, really, you've had a lot of this almost straight up type stuff the last few days. And when you have those conditions and some of the other technical conditions that were in place in the market, you know you're going to get something like this at some point. You know it's coming. It's just a matter of when and how much farther does the market go up before you get this sort of thing. And I, as I always tell folks, when you have this type of condition in the market, it doesn't take a whole lot to get some selling started. And yesterday, when you called me about the show yesterday, to get things set up for this morning, the Dow was just short of 14,200 right around 1 o'clock when you and I were talking, and it wasn't 20 or 30 minutes later, it literally just fell off the table and went from just short of 14,200 all the way down to under 14,000, and all of a sudden here comes a big sell-off, and we bounced a little bit at the close. I would not get too excited about that little bounce just yet. Of course, today's Friday, and Fridays are always tricky anyway. And we have an option expiration coming up next week, along with a lot of earnings to come out next week across the board. So get ready again for this volatility. And I know folks get tired of hearing me say that, but if that's the way it's going to be, then that's certainly how we want to, you know, give folks a heads up on it. So as far as what triggered yesterday, it could be any of a number of things. I saw one of the big high-profile technology stocks that had been up just a ton the last several weeks. It caught a downgrade yesterday. I saw some comments come out of Europe about maybe having to be more aggressive with raising interest rates. And, yes, I said raising interest rates. So just all sorts of things coming out that were just enough to maybe upset folks a little bit. And again, in this type of market environment, once you get a little downside started, it can feed on itself pretty quickly, and here we go.
But there's still a whole lot of tension in the market.
Without question. I mean, it's been a little perplexing to me the last few days, actually, with how the market has gone up like it has. And you get a sell-off like we had yesterday right after you and I were talking, and it makes you feel a little bit smarter for a while. But
yeah.
In this market, my goodness, I have not seen a market like this in a long, long time. And as hard as it is to believe that I'm even seeing or about to say this, it's already similar to what it was this time last year, when it would just go up and up and up, and you would get some news out. And we could pick all sorts of data points. We've had all sorts of earnings come out the last few days that were not up to snuff. retail sales yesterday, regardless of what some of the headlines you might read say, those retail sales yesterday pretty much across the board were not that good.
Yeah.
And all sorts of other things in the mix, and the market up until about 1 o'clock yesterday pretty much ignored it all as far as the negative things and just went onward and upward. And then it was almost like the market woke up yesterday about 1:30 and said, now, wait a minute, maybe some of this stuff isn't all that great after all.
Yeah.
And here comes a little sell-off. So it's a strange market, and folks have got to be on their toes here with this thing for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mike, let me bring up a topic. We talked about this last week. In fact, right after we got off the air last week, the jobs numbers came out. They said there were, 110,000 jobs added. They went back and they revised both August and July. In fact, August had originally been reported as having declined by 4,000, and that came out, and they increased it by up to 89,000.
That's right.
We all know how you feel about these numbers and how, I guess, how crazy Wall Street is to reacting to something that seems to be so reliable. How do you feel now? I guess this is make you feel like you've seen this in spades, and this was the craziest thing I've ever seen. How do you feel about it?
Well, yeah, it's what we talked about, and it's typical of this report. And there were so many things that have played out since this report came out a week ago regarding jobs that is just exactly what we talked about both for this report and for the one the previous month. It's been pretty interesting. And boy, if you want to see Exhibit A for what I'm talking about, just pull out the report from a week ago. You're talking about, let's look at it this way. If you remember back when the report came out that showed the 4,000 jobs lost for August, that was the day, if you remember going into that report, that was when I was actually of the opinion that the Federal Reserve did not need to lower interest rates. And then we got that report that was a loss of 4,000 jobs. And even though I don't believe these reports and don't put much stake in them, I did say that I felt like it would give the Fed, if they had any doubt about whether they should cut interest rates, that would be enough for them to go ahead and make a cut. I thought it would be a quarter of a percentage point. It turned out to be a half point. But anyway, it's interesting now that not only was that loss of 4,000 jobs incorrect, and we talked about how there was some government jobs mainly focused in teaching, in education, that might have made that report a little bit fluky, so to speak, and they revised it up, and a loss of jobs revised up to a job creation number of 89,000 is a pretty big difference there. And most of the revision was due to government jobs. So it's almost like they can't even count their own jobs very well.
Let alone anybody else's, yeah.
Yeah, so here we go. And the reason I mentioned that in the fashion I just did is what's interesting about that is if, and I know there were other things brewing in the market back then for sure, but the reason I mentioned that revision is so many of the Wall Street folks were talking after that job report that day, when it was originally 4,000, they were talking like, this is why the Fed needs to lower rates, this is why they will, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? That number was incorrect, and it was actually a gain of 89,000 jobs. So does that mean the Fed should not have lowered rates after all, and maybe they should put them right back where they were? That's not going to happen, but that's just something people need to think about. And then, as you mentioned, they also revised up July as well. And then, of course, the number we got Friday was a gain of 110,000 jobs, which I'm sure will be – I'm pretty sure that'll be revised as well.
No question. I had read somewhere where somebody said the fact that this thing was revised up means that there will be no recession.
That's way too premature.
Well, in my opinion.
And the other interesting thing, too, Dave, about this report, and we talked about this, the last report, not the one announced a week ago, it was one before that, is another critical element to this that I think investors need to understand here, and I think this is so important to talk about, because clearly the media and the Wall Street crowd, they think this report is just the most exciting thing every month to come out, and it's almost comical to me how much weight some people put on this thing. And a perfect example, again, is the one that came out, not this past report, but the one before that one. That was the one that was the negative 4,000. The market went down big right. that Friday. And we talked about then the other reason to ignore these reports. Forget the fact that they're wrong a lot of the time, but the other reason is the market seems lately, whatever the reaction is when the report comes out, it seems to reverse that reaction pretty quickly.
Yes.
It did that report within a matter of a few days. And believe it or not, yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average touched right at the level it was at the previous Thursday over a week ago when it closed, before that jobs report came out. So the one that came out that revised up the loss of 4,000 and then showed more jobs created, and the market thought that was just all wonderful and had to celebrate it. Here we are a week later, and we've touched right back where we were before that report came out. So
they're saying
it's all falling into place like we had thought it might.
Yeah. So they're saying don't pay any attention to what we did before anyway.
Yeah. I mean, one day I think folks will hopefully realize to worry and agonize over this jobs report that comes out the first Friday of each month is just not worth the energy.
I hear you. Let me ask you about housing, Mike. It seems like it's not getting any better. We've seen some reports that would indicate, I guess, that it's getting even worse in
right.
terms of some of the subprime mortgages. Seems to be a lot more widespread than originally thought. What are your feelings now? I know that you have felt all along and started, I guess, last November, October, saying the worst is not over, and doesn't look like it's over anywhere near over now.
No, that's correct. It's nowhere near over, in my opinion. And when you're looking at a report I saw the other day, the amount of mortgages that are still due to reset starting this month is a huge number, and I want to continue to reiterate to folks, and this of course makes predicting this a little more difficult as well, but I continue to see people in the media and folks talking about what they think will happen from here on out with the housing situation, and they keep saying the word historically. You know, when this happens. And when A happens, B and C happen. And I just cannot stress enough, there is no historically for this situation we're in. Anything, when folks use the word historically to then talk about a conclusion they think will happen with this stuff, you can't do that. In my opinion, there's not a history for the situation we're in now with housing.
Well, one of the things, and we had this on the air, I think it was Thursday morning, I don't remember exactly which day, but the fact that the subprime mortgages that have been written over, I guess, 2004 up to last year are remarkable, and a lot more of these loans had been written than most people had thought, I guess. And this means, I guess, that we're going to see more trouble with the people that wrote these mortgages or bought the mortgages, and certainly a lot more foreclosures.
So I agree, and it's just beginning. And I think, I really think, I mean, it's October the 12th, and I really think in the next 2 to 3 months, some of the things we'll be talking about with what's going on in housing and some of the data that we'll begin to see regarding foreclosures, inventory levels exploding, home prices dropping dramatically, appraisals, that sort of thing. I think it's going to be pretty interesting, the type of things we'll be talking about in, say, 2 to 3 months. And some of the things you touched on, which, again, I think is one of the things that a lot of people have missed about this and are still missing, is you hear the word subprime loans, subprime mortgages, and so many people just incorrectly think, in my opinion, that that this is a very, very small sliver of the population, and it's folks that don't have good credit ratings, and it is those folks, but it's more widespread, I think, than a lot of people realize. And it's not just subprime mortgages, and that's the thing I want to continue to reiterate as well. It's not just subprime that's going to be the problem. It's some of these folks that actually have pretty good credit scores, but they're in adjustable rate mortgages. And while subprime tends to be adjustable rate, there are also adjustable rate mortgages due to reset that aren't subprime people. So this is not just the lower tier of the mortgage buyer, mortgage person out there. It's more people than I think people realize.
Yes, people with some pretty healthy mortgages who I guess were cut a little bit more slack than they would normally have been cut.
Yeah, apparently so. And the other thing that's coming, well, not coming, it's already happening, is just keep your eyes on newspapers and news reports and internet or whatever, and I think we're about to see some pretty heavy auctioning of homes that people have either walked away from, or they're in foreclosure, or people can't get them sold and they're just trying to take them to auction to see if they can get them sold. And I think that's going to be heavy here the next 2 or 3 months. And the thing that's so tricky about that is, again, just looking at an example, a home that someone had a mortgage on, say, 2 or 3 years ago that they took out for $400,000, and there are always exceptions, of course, but generally speaking, we're going to see those type homes being auctioned, I think. And if those, just picking numbers, let's say a $400,000 home auctions at $280,000 or $300,000. Well, all of a sudden, the other homes in that same area that maybe they're due to reset their mortgages in a month or two, again, just picking examples here, the appraised value of those homes has to drop.
Right.
So then you compound things, and it just snowballs. And it's, I think we're beginning to see this process really start now. And it's going to be something we have to keep our eyes on here. And another thing I think a lot of people are missing that are thinking that a lot of these fixes, so to speak, that have been proposed to help try to fix this problem, it's going to be difficult when you're seeing the value of what these loans are against the home, obviously, when these values are dropping like they are. It's a tricky situation. And in a lot of cases, there are investors on the other side of these things. And that brings in another element that a lot of people may not be thinking about. So, tricky situation, and it's just getting started as far as those aspects.
Well, two things. The investors that you mentioned and the institutions that bought up these mortgages, this is going to make this credit crisis we've all been talking about for the last month even worse. That's number one. And number two, it seems like a lot of people have been saying they didn't expect to see any kind of turnaround in the housing market until the end of next year. What you just mentioned means that, there's going to be more houses on the market, which means that if a month or two ago, before we realized all this, we were expecting a turnaround perhaps a year from now, or maybe a little bit longer than a year from now, that's been moved now to sometime in 2009. Would that be fair to say?
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying. And it's just like when you and I were talking about this last year and we first started talking about housing, in our opinion, would be a big problem in 07. We've seen that. And if you'll notice, during all those times, I was always not willing to say when we thought things would turn back up. And it's mainly because, to me, and this is just the way we look at things, that's impossible to do. And not only that, it's way too premature to even try to do that. And we see little value in trying to do that anyway. The way we look at things is we simply try to determine if things are about to get worse than people think. If that's the case, we don't even spend energy trying to figure out when they're going to get better, because we don't see any value in spending that time. And right now, with the position I have of thinking housing is going to continue to be a problem and get worse from here, that's where we stand. When we begin to see some stability, then we'll begin to concern ourselves with how much longer it'll be before things actually turn back up. And we don't see that anywhere in the foreseeable future. So as far as when the things get better, we don't. Number one, we don't have any idea. And number two, we don't really see the value in trying to figure that out anyway at this point.
But whatever that might have been, it's now further down the road than it would have been a month or two ago.
Oh yeah. I mean, you mean in our opinion or the consensus out there?
Well, in anybody's opinion, yours or anybody else's. So, yeah.
I think it's been pushed out. I agree with that. We would definitely push out when we think things will have any chance of getting better.
I got you.
And the other reason that's so difficult is I don't know where the Fed will have interest rates in 6 months. I don't know if they'll. I mean, Bernanke's already surprised us.
Let me ask you that question. The Fed's going to meet what, later this month?
Right.
What are you expecting? I mean, a lot of people back when were expecting another rate cut. Do you see that in the cards?
Well, if they were meeting today, I do not think they would cut rates again. And I was talking to an individual the other day about this, and you know, good conversation. I'll give you both sides of the argument, and folks can do what they want to with it. But keep in mind, the employment data that was supposedly the kind of a last straw to allow them to cut rates, that data was wrong. That loss of 4,000 turned out to be a big gain. We've already talked about it. So if that was the last argument someone was using as justification for the Fed to cut rates, that's off the table. If you want to use the argument that they'll cut rates again later this month because these things we are talking about are going to be a bigger problem down the road, then yes, I think you could say they would cut rates. But the flip side to that is the way the market's reacted since they cut rates, it makes you wonder why they have to cut them again. Now, I know that's both sides of the argument, and it's important sometimes to just put both sides of it out there, but if they were meeting today, I do not think they would cut rates, but Bernanke has surprised us, and he may do that again. But it certainly shows, and it reminds me of the interview you and I had with Dr. Ken Cyrie, talking about the Fed that day and the banking system and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ken has stressed this to me over the last several months. He told me, he said, whatever you think and whatever decisions you make, you need to understand this is not Alan Greenspan. This is a new deal. It's Ben Bernanke, and it may be a mistake to assume he's going to act like Greenspan would, and boy, he was dead right with that. Who knows, but I don't think Greenspan would have cut rates 50 basis points at that last meeting. He would have probably gone 25, but be that as it may, It's an interesting situation with the Fed for sure now, and speaking of that, Bernanke is speaking today, if I'm not mistaken, it's in Dallas. I believe I'm right on this, and I don't expect him to say a whole lot either way, but that is out there.
That's interesting. Well, let me ask you about oil. It's been, what, for the better part of this week, above 80? Is that making you tense?
Well, it's 80, just above 83 at the close yesterday, up almost 2. And I'll say the same thing I said last time. It's tricky to get a feel for where crude oil is going to go next as far as the next big move. And when I say big, I mean where's the next $10. But I'll say, again, what I said last time you asked me about it, I would not want to bet big that the next big move is down. I do not see, and it's actually surprised me a little bit, but I have to go with the signals regardless of whether I think they make sense or not. And it's the same as I said last time. I would have expected to see the setup and the signals I would typically see when we're about to get a decent-sized down move in crude oil. And at this level, say $8 to $10 down from here, but I don't see those things. Anything can happen. It's hard to predict crude oil, especially at these levels. But I do not see what I would typically see to think that the next big move is down. So with that being the case and that being the setup, you won't hear me saying I think the next sizable move in crude is down. I just can't say that. And frankly, it would not surprise me if the next decent-sized move is actually up.
Well, it seems to be inching that way.
Yeah, and if you'll notice the last several days here, when it's tried to go down, it just could not seem to hold it. It would just shoot right back up. So that lends some evidence to the setup we're seeing anyway, at least for now.
I got you. We're going to see a lot more earnings coming out here, Mohawk among them. I think Mohawk is coming out next week, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's right.
What are your thoughts there? I mean, I guess oil going up does not bode well for Mohawk and a lot of players in this business.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the thing that's interesting about that, I think, is, and of course, Dave, you would know more about this than I would perhaps, but typically, well, not typically, there were some price increases announced in the floor covering industry. If I'm not mistaken, Dave, was it back in the spring?
Yes, there's been ones in the vinyl arena right along here over the last 2 months.
Yeah. And the thing about that is, if the consumer, and retail sales lends itself to this a little bit, I think, too, but I would think anyway that the consumer's a little bit stretched here now with all these things we're talking about going on out there, and it's going to be interesting to see if floor covering price increases can get through to the consumer and stick. I certainly don't claim to be an expert at trying to predict that, but it would seem to me anyway that that's going to be a tough thing to maybe get through. And if that's the case, then you wonder about margin issues. And when you add the housing situation in this country, both new home sales, new home starts, existing home sales, and that sort of thing, it's going to be interesting to me to see what Mohawk does in the way of earnings. And more importantly, I think, is the guidance. And as we mentioned, I think last time, the other thing about Mohawk that has changed compared to not too many years ago is this foreign exposure with Unilin. And of course, I know I said that last interview, but it's the same thing. It that aspect of Mohawk makes it even trickier to me anyway to maybe get a sense of what they'll report and maybe how they'll guide. But it'll be surprising to me if they don't talk about some negative impact from this housing situation. And you know, as far as how they guide in the future, I don't have any idea, but I would be surprised if there's a lot of optimism.
Well, they're known for being pessimistic anyway, I guess, and you know, they don't have as much sales into the builder market as does, say, Shaw. So their exposure isn't as great there, but nonetheless, you know, the market's down, and they're not going to be as good as they might. However, you know, the third quarter of last year was when we first saw the drop, and I suspect the comparison is going to be a bit easier.
Well, Mohawk was in between 100 and 105 from about May of this year to about July, somewhere right in there, as I remember. Let's just say the summer. I'm not looking at a chart, but I just remember late spring, early summer, it was right in that 100, 105 area, and broke down pretty hard, went below 100, and went straight down to below 85. During the summer, it was not just Mohawk. There were a lot of things going on in the market back then, folks remember. And it has just not bounced much at all since then. It's had a couple of periods where it bounced up near 90, but it's back below 85, and it has had a difficult time getting anything going. And that's why I think this earnings report is going to be pretty important, both from an actual number perspective and guidance perspective. But the thing's going to be interesting about Mohawk and its other things that are what I call similarly maybe influenced by this, and please don't listeners don't need to read anything into what I'm about to say as far as whether you should buy or sell any of these stocks. That's not what I do on the show. But if you go look at a stock like Black & Decker, for example, heavily tied to home building and construction and remodeling and all of that, and the chart since late spring, early summer compared to Mohawk is very similar. And you'll see similar type moves, and actually somewhat of a similar percentage type move down. And you'll see that in other stocks as well that you would expect to be in the same boat, so to speak. Lowe's is another good example. So it's not just a Mohawk issue, you know, it's the sector, and it's things that are influenced negatively by some of these things we've been talking about, and I don't see those things getting better anytime soon. So how that affects Mohawk and what they say about it will be interesting.
I've got to.
I would just be surprised to see a whole lot of optimism.
I see. One last question. We're almost out of time. Earnings across the board don't seem to be as good as people had thought a little bit earlier. Do you see that?
Yeah, that's right. I would agree with that. Not surprising. I don't think it should be surprising anyway. And I think, and I know this isn't what you specifically asked me, but retail sales yesterday, I think, is a good example of what we're talking about here. Same store sales, in a lot of respects, the majority were lower than expected. And of course, in this market, early yesterday morning anyway, a lot of the chatter was, well, these sales were bad, but they don't mean anything because the weather was so warm in September. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. It's not that the consumer's weak. It's not that the economy's slowing down. It's just weather was so hot. And I just find that a little bit stretchy. I would not draw that conclusion. I think what we're seeing is the consumer weakening a little bit, and it's more than just, I think, just weather.
I see. So, but you think October will be more telling than September was in terms of same-store sales?
Yeah, I would agree. And more specific to what you were talking about, earnings, in a lot of respects, were not quite up to snuff. Not quite up to snuff, but I don't think there was enough this week to draw a whole lot of conclusion regarding earnings. Next week, I think, will be the first time to really maybe potentially do that. And I think earnings coming up this coming week and of course, the following week, generally speaking, I think they're going to be a little short of expectations. And how the market handles that, normally I would say that the market's in for a little bit of disappointment here and maybe having to deal with factoring in growth and earnings a little bit more than it should. But in this market, there's no telling how this market's going to react to anything day to day. Yesterday, it's way too soon to conclude this, but yesterday might have been the market finally beginning to maybe realize that maybe it's getting a little ahead of itself here for the short term. So I actually think that's what it's done here and what it's doing. Of course, next few days we'll tell if I'm right on that or not.
I got you. Good place to leave it. Always a pleasure, Mike, and we'll give you a call during the week if we see a lot more crazy volatility.
Okay, Dave. Talk to you then.
Good enough. Have a good weekend.
You too.
We've been talking with Mike Barker from Investment and Retirement Management, and this is Floor Radio.